One. Proverbs 31 and verse 28 says, "Rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praise her." You know, for a Mother's Day sermon, it's very easy for me to preach a sermon on how a woman ought to be. You know, and there's tons of notes in that in Scripture, and I've preached on that before, and there's a ton of notes that we could throw out there for what a mother ought to be. But you know what? I don't want to preach on moms today. I want to preach on children and fathers. Because I tell you what, a lot of moms I know, they know what the Bible says. We're not always perfect with it, I'm sure. However, we know. I think what is often dropped in today's day and age is a level of respect for the moms. Where is the love for motherhood? As a matter of fact, if we look at politics in the news today, it is almost like being a mom is a hideous blight, when it can be by far the most rewarding and amazing experience most of us men will never know anything about. And because we don't understand it, we lack the respect that should be there for it. Now, folks, let's read this verse again so we can reiterate. This is the word of God, and not me just being nice. Again, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. He praiseth her. Now listen, the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman that has been compared against every other woman for as long as we've been preaching the word. And she can be intimidating to be compared up against. But I tell you what, when you look at the grand scheme of what a biblical mother does, yes, there are failures. If we moved in next door to the Proverbs 31 woman, no doubt there'd be some things we'd look over and go, whoo, well, she didn't get her hair done today. Those kids are wild in the backyard today. I wonder what she feeds them. I wonder what she gives them. This woman was not infallible. She was very much the same kind of woman that we have in this room today. Which means two things. Number one, she is not unreachable. It is not a goal you cannot attain. And also, she's very comparable. The same struggles you have, she had. The same issues that you struggle with, she struggles with. Of course, they all look different in today's day and age with television and all the stuff that we've got going on with society. Yeah, there are different challenges today. No doubt the Proverbs 31 woman never had to decide at what age to allow her children to have a cell phone. She never had to worry about putting blockers on the internet or the television. But all the same things, all the same issues were there. Protect the family. Right? Be a home, take care of the home. I mean, if we take a look at all the different things that she did, but it's there. Men, if we are married to a godly woman, you praise her. Children, if you've got a godly mom, you rise up and you call her blessed. Well, wait a minute. She has faults. My mom's not a godly woman. She does this, and she won't let me do that. And whoa. Now let's hold on. Because we have entered into that age, right? Where everything wrong with us is because our parents did it to us, right? Well, my dad never said that. He never said he loved me. My mom never took the time to come to my ball games. And it turned out that mom was working two jobs. That's why she never made it to the ball games. Now don't get me wrong. There are selfish human beings out there. There are people out there that got no care or concern for the people that they raise. I understand that. But we need to watch where we cut that line. We need to watch where we cut that line. I remember when Danielle and I were first pregnant with Xander, we had all the rules. Did you not have all the rules? Organic. Hon, do you remember your little dalliance with cloth diapers? Had the audacity to come into our house. I think we're going to do cloth diapers. And I said, if that's what you want to do, you can. Daddy's not changing a cloth diaper. Daddy's not going to launder a cloth diaper. Mm-mm. I know better. Yeah, but when we first started off, we wanted to do everything right. We had all the rules, all the regulations. Only certain people could touch the baby. I had a rule that if I had seen you dropped anything in the last 4 weeks, you weren't allowed to pick up the child. I had all the rules. Nowadays, it's like, well, don't give them drugs, narcotics, anything off the street. I'm fine. Other than that, you know, we put Xander in bubble wrap. Gideon will let jump off the couch. We change, right? We got to watch where we cut the line. At the beginning of parenthood, you'll not even be the same parent you think you are. We need to put that into perspective when we look backwards and see our moms. Well, I never got to color my hair. I never got to stay. They oppressed me. My mom spanked me. My mom did that. You need to be glad you had a mom that paid attention to you. There's tons of kids in the system right now never met their moms. There's tons of kids out right now cleaning up their mom's mess because of her substance abuse. You need to be happy. Be grateful. When we have the opportunity to give thanks, we need to give thanks. We are commanded, children, to praise our moms. Can I tell you something about your mom that you probably already know, depending on your age? Your mom knows a whole lot more than you do. And even if you think you've caught up with old mom, she's had a lot more time to sit on that knowledge and develop wisdom than you have had yet. Right? Because that what happens? You go talk to mom. You're sitting there, mom, I got this problem, I got that problem. Mom tries to solve it because that's what you want, right? Oh, you roll your eyes. Those were just... And then what happens? You get to the point to where you are where your mom was when she gave you that advice. And not only are you giving the same advice, but it's dawning on you how you were to your mom. Or you play that game we all play. If I'd have done that to my mom, she'd have smacked me into next week. Now you did do that to your mom. And 10-to-1, that's why your kids are doing that to you. And we call our moms blessed. You got knowledge I don't have. And we take that from anything. We can take that to the daily how to do stuff lifestyle. The mom, how do I handle the finances? Mom, how do I handle relationships? Mom, what do I do in church? Mom, what do I do in work? We could write the whole book on day-to-day living that mom could teach you. There's also the spiritual aspect. You know, we grew up in a home. We didn't have a lot of religion in our house. My mom came by it after I was almost ready to get out of the house. But you know what mom came in for in the latter part? Matt, now listen. Right, when we started having kids, Matt, now listen. I didn't get to do this because I didn't know any better, but now I know better. This is what you need to do. All right, mom, okay. Mom's right. Wanna know why? Because moms know things you don't. Not inherently. Because that's just the natural course of things. You live in the world for a while, you pick up on a thing or two. You don't have to have the internet to know what you're talking about. You don't have to have modern day psychology to know what you're talking about. Moms have knowledge. We need to listen. We need to listen. We need to treat them like they're blessed with stuff. Like they're blessed with wisdom and they're blessed with understanding. I don't know why it is within the natural order of the moms and the daughters particularly to argue. I'll come home, Danielle will say things that Melody has done. I don't believe. Now, some of you look at me and say, well, brother, that's more about you than that is your daughter. But I do. I think there's this contention that happens a little bit more often between moms and daughters the same way it happens between sons and dads. Right? We're too much the same person to get along. You need to recognize that. The reason why you're always bouncing off a mom is because you're just like her. That's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing. Y'all think the same. Right? You may not think the same things, but y'all think the same way. We need to stop with contention. Stop with disrespect. And we think that because we can find gaps in her understanding, we don't have to listen to her. Listen, just because your mom can't help you with your algebra homework doesn't mean she doesn't know a thing or two about life. Right? If you're so smart, you do your algebra homework. I've met kids like that. Well, she's not that smart. My teacher is way smarter than my mom. My professor at college is a lot smarter than my mom. Therefore, I'll listen to them. If you haven't yet, where you haven't, there are as many highly educated idiots as there are low educated idiots. You'll get there. Trust me. Right? You could have two or three degrees and no common sense just as easily as you can barely make it out of high school and have no common sense. Right? That is more of a character thing than a how many books have you read thing. Right? Just because you can regurgitate stuff out on a test does not mean that you are better than the person who knows how to get their bills in on time, who knows how to show respect within the family, how to grow respect within the family, who knows things like yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. We went down to that conference down in Tennessee, and it's weird. You catch things. Well, hi, how are you? My pleasure. Thank you, please. Yes, sir. Somebody said yes, sir, to me. I know. We're working on this beard, hoping maybe somebody would see that I'm a little bit older. And yes, sir. That's nice. I almost kind of felt like that was undeserving of that. Yes, sir. They said the same thing to one of the boys. Yes, sir. Right? That's what we try to teach our kids, right? Why? Because politeness matters. You can keep your fist free. Now, if you've got one, that's nice. I'm not picking. But I'm trying to get into this. That degree don't teach you manners. Mama does. That degree don't wake you up to make sure you get to school. Right? Mama knows a little thing about punctuality. Now, we look at Timothy. Timothy's life in the Bible. Timothy was taught by his mom the gospel. Was taught the things of the word by mama. We need to have a respect for a mom that lifts up the word of God in the home. Gentlemen, that's our responsibility, by the way. Just because you got a wife that will do it doesn't mean it all needs to rest on her. You understand? But God will bless a woman who will raise up the word of God in her home and say, listen, boys, listen, girls, this is what we're doing. It's what we understand. I know a woman whose husband wouldn't, so she did. Well, how their kids turn out, it doesn't matter. God's going to bless her for it. Right? You can lead a horse to water. You can't always make him drink. But you get blessed for taking him to the paddock. You get blessed for taking him to the creek, I guess. She has understanding. Just because she can't do your homework, just because you know smarter people, don't mean anything. A woman had quit work to stay home and take care of her newborn baby daughter. Countless hours of peekaboo and other games slowly took their toll. One evening, she smacked her bare toes on the corner of a dresser, grabbing her foot, sank to the floor. Her husband rushed to her side and asked, "Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt?" She goes, "Oh, I got it right in the piggy that went to eat roast beef. That's what right there. Almost took the one that went to market." There's a reason why moms have a little bit of a hard time when they get to the kids and their teenagers. Because you sucked it out of them. Those late nights. Those always trying to put things down to your level. Because you think about it, moms, they get you at your level. Right? Now my wife, I'll pick on her a little bit because she doesn't have a choice. The way she deals with Gideon is not the way she deals with Melody. She'll talk one way to Melody, talk a different way to Gideon. Why? Different levels. And the way that she'll deal with Gideon is not the way she'll deal with Caspian. And I tell you what, there's a small gap there, but it's big enough for her to speak Xander just a little bit. Mom comes in at your level. And every now and then, mom comes in right under your level. Oh, mom's a little soft. Mom's a little dotty. No, mom's just used to you being a baby. Her mind has wrapped itself around you. That's where her mind goes. Show some respect. She has changed her body, her mind, and yes, even her heart because of you. Have some respect. You may not always get along. You may not see eye to eye, but mama's got experience. And through experience and knowledge, mama's got what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Because here's the thing. When you're young, you got knowledge, and you think that makes you hot stuff. Then after a while, you start doing some things, and then you think, you really got it. I got knowledge. I got a little bit of experience. But you know what mom will always have that you don't? Wisdom. Why? Because she's had enough of the experience. She's had enough time with the knowledge to be able to appropriately use it to serve and honor the Lord, to take care of you, to make sure that the situation works out. That's what she's got. We folly. We make a mistake when we sit there with our little bit of knowledge and our little bit of experience and we start dictating to how mom ought to be. We start judging how she should be. That's not the way that works. The way it works instead is we honor that respect. We honor that wisdom. We also, as children, need to respect our mothers, need to call our mothers blessed because she's sacrificed for you in ways you have yet to understand. Now, many of you, you've caught up with your mom. You have kids, grandkids. Some of you have great-grandkids out there. Yeah, you might have caught up. But I would dare say that it's important for those that have not caught up to understand this. That there is sacrifice made. It is not just the body, although that is considerable. The aches and the pains, the travails of labor. I've said this before. I had a front row to it, and that was enough for me. To actually go through it. I'll never understand. I'm not the appropriate person to talk about that particular sacrifice. But I'll tell you this, it is a sacrifice. There's a physical change. And after that, there's all the late nights, the early mornings, the 11 o'clock, mom, I promised everyone we'd bring brownies. The mom, hey, I'm out here, it's 12 o'clock, I know I'm past curfew, but the car ran out of gas times. The physical frustration as the child rebels, there is a physical sacrifice mom goes through, and it does not stop when you leave the house. It doesn't. Ask me if it, here I am, my age, my mom, it's been a while since you called me, are you okay? Just checking, you all right? I haven't heard from you in a while, just making sure, okay. Mom, if I died, somebody will call you. If I'm in the hospital, someone will call you. It never stops, does it? It never stops. And that takes a physical toll. There's a physical cost to motherhood. Compounded on there, there's the emotional cost of motherhood. Especially in a world that doesn't respect it. In a world that treats motherhood like if I have a baby, I'll die. If I have a baby, it'll completely ruin everything. Oh, there's a cost. But it's worth the investment. It's worth it. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a 4th grader with his math. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. There's a sacrifice. It is a lifetime commitment. Now, some people say that the commitment starts when you find out you're pregnant and you've got to decide whether you're going to commit to this child or you're going to take the back step, right? That's not when it begins. You know when it begins? It begins when you have a physical relationship with somebody. That's the decision you've made. That's what it is. No, see, that's not right. That's when you make the decision. Well, what about all these really bad times? Tell me how often those really bad times happen. Tell me. I won't use the words, but tell me how often that happens and a child is created. It's a good 90%+. I don't know the exact, but it's over 90% of abortions aren't emergencies, aren't because of trauma or abuse. 90% of abortions take place because you made the wrong decision at the wrong time. That's what it is. The commitment starts. Well, you know when the commitment starts. And that's something that we need to understand. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, where we're living in a society that sits there and so puts down parenthood, so puts down child. They don't even understand when the choice is made. They don't get it. The choice is made when you decide that you're going to lay down with somebody you're not married with. When you decide you're gonna sit there and you're gonna shack up with somebody and you're not gonna, you know, be responsible. And I said this, oh man, if only there was a construct in which two people could enter into, some kind of a contract people could enter into that could guarantee that if anything went wrong with our physical relationship, if anything went right with our physical relationship, there would be legal bounds and respect and promises to make sure that I would not be abandoned or hurt. If only, man. Well, you're just trying to get everybody married. No. I'm trying to get anybody who's out there having physical relationships married before they have them. Because I'm telling you right now, that would cut down a lot of the issues we have. That's when the decision is made. And that decision, while worthwhile, takes a lot of sacrifice. If you're sitting in this room today, somebody made that sacrifice for you. Somebody did that for you. And you can sit there and you can look back. Well, my mom, she didn't do it right. Doesn't matter. You're here. She went through it. You're here. You be grateful. Well, my mom's not perfect. Yeah, and you should see the kids she raised. Love her. Love her. Right? They say that about people. Well, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Some apples just go straight down. Just, we're right here, man. We're right there. Don't pick. Somebody went through all that for you. Right? You can't go back. You can't change things. You can't there and say, well, that makes me a better person because I can put her down. That don't help. You love her. She went through all that with you. She stuck with you. She put you on that bus. She gave you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Man, all she had to give you was a cheese stick and an old apple. You're doing a whole lot better than the majority of the world out there. Well, you know, she wasn't always there. She was working all the time. Yeah, because you kept eating all the time. Well, you know, she wasn't there to teach me how to drive. You know, she was off doing something else. Yeah, probably the laundry or something else that needed to be done because you kept wearing the clothes. You kept eating the food. You kept leaving the bathroom a mess, right? You kept going out there causing trouble. Oh, yeah, by the way, there was the braces. Oh, yeah, by the way, there was all the soccer equipment, the baseball equipment, the hockey equipment that you needed, right? All those things she was taking care of. You got to be a little bit more understanding if she's not sitting there following you around all day and going, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're amazing. Her job is not your ego. Her job is your well-being. And if you had that, you'd be grateful for that. My wife's got this statement she'll throw at the kids every now and then. I go, yeah, mama, yeah. I'm not here to entertain you. Yeah. Go outside. And that's it. We think, well, mom never got me all the things that I wanted, never took me to all the places that I wanted to go to. That wasn't her job. Gee, my boy hit me with this. He goes, Dad, I don't know how I'm ever going to repay you for all. He just got something. You know how kids get emotional when they get something for like 2 seconds before it breaks? Dad, I just don't understand how I'll ever be able to repay you for all the things. It's not your job to repay me. It's my responsibility to take care of you. You know how you can repay me? You do what I tell you to do, and when you get older, you take care of your kids a little bit better than I took care of you. Moms, is that not what you want? Kids, if you can recognize that that's what mama wanted for you, you turn around and you say thank you. Turn around and you say thank you. On our wall in our house, I've got a little sign that I bought for Danielle. I thought I was so clever. A little sign that I got, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. That's the only part of the verse. It completely left my responsibility out of it. But it was pretty, and I didn't make the sign, and I just got it for her. But you know what, gentlemen? Along with the kids, there is us, the dads. The dads who should not be content to let mom wipe every booger. The dads who are not content with the idea that, yeah, I guess I'll come home and babysit the kids. Oh, no. And they be the dad they're supposed to be. We're going to do this chore. I don't want to do the chore. That's a girly chore. I don't know who told you that, but we're doing it. If I'm doing it, it ain't girly. So that's it. We got hardwood floors now. Going into hardwood floors for the most part. So we had to find the vacuum. We had to go find the vacuum. Get that out. Where's that at? That's upstairs. Bring that down. Vacuuming is masculine if you're doing it. Dishes can be masculine too if you're doing them. I don't know where we get these ideas. Right? I don't even know where we get the idea of help. Right? Do you dirty dishes? Yeah. Okay. You can clean them. Hey, you going to eat the food? Yeah, I'm going to eat the food. You know, I love to eat. You can make some food. Well, that's my wife's job. Is it? Did you guys sit down together and you guys realize that you're an awful cook and she's a good cook, so she's the only one who's allowed? I knew a couple one time where the lady was not allowed to cook because every time she turned on the stove, she'd set it on fire. I understand that arrangement. I get you there. Right? But unless there is this discussion of everything you cook tastes like charcoal, so you don't cook, I cook. Unless we're having that discussion, you can do it too. Now why? Because again, just because she's mom doesn't mean she's your mom. You following me on this? She's their mom, not your mom. Right? You entered into a partnership. You are one flesh. Now listen, there are certain things Danielle will not let me do because I am awful. I get that. So you know what Daddy's got to do? Daddy's got to make that up somehow. He's got to find something else. He can balance the scales. But listen, we need to be in there being a help. Right? We need to be able to praise her. Look at all the things the Proverbs 31 woman did. Let's go to verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She is trustworthy, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I want you to look at that verse, and there's two verses. Women, no matter what your husbands do, you don't do anything bad to them. You don't do anything mean to them. Men, you know how we ought to be reading that verse? Don't give her a reason. Don't give her a reason. Our pastor used to say this. We got the Klubines here. Our pastor used to say this. The best way to get your wife to treat you like a king is to treat her like a queen. You want love and respect out of her, you got to pour love and respect into the marriage. It is what you put into it. If you're vile, you're awful, and you're mean, guess what you're going to get back? Most likely something vile, something awful, and something mean. So she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wood and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And we go on and on and on. And you know what we see here? The Proverbs 31 woman is taking care of you. She's taking care of the kids. She's got her eyes on the house. She's got her eyes on what everyone's wearing. She's got her eyes on the groceries. She's got her eyes on what's being cooked. She's got her eyes on the charitable things, on the poor around them. She's got her eyes on the servants and everybody who comes in and goes inside the house. She's got her eyes on everything. Where's Dad? Well, hold on. Game's on. Well, hold on, listen, just because a man says he's going to do something doesn't mean you need to remind him about it every 3 months, okay? We need to stop worrying about whether or not our wives and the mothers are Proverbs 31 women. Gentlemen, we need to ask ourselves if we are worthy of a Proverbs 31 woman. And by the way, you look at that list, you think one person's doing all that? I think there was a lot of oversight there. I think in the process of being one flesh, while she's got her eyes on these things, as she's taking care of these things, there's some work going on by some other people. And men, if we're going to be leaders, right? That's what the Bible calls men to be, leaders. You can't do it from the lazy boy watching Facebook. You can't do it sitting on the couch for 4 hours. Well, do you know what kind of job I have? You know what kind of job men have always had? And it has still been our instruction to be the leaders in the home and not the last or not the first child the woman had. Others, guys. I left one mom, I've got the other one. And it's my job to break that one in so she's just as good as the other one. You ain't got the ability to pull that one off. You need to be grateful. Right? A Proverbs 31 woman. It's a wonderful, wonderful person to have in your life. But man, I would dare say most of us men would stand up and say, I don't deserve her. Now see, it's easy for us to say it. Now y'all know it's true for me. I married up. I mean, look at her. I married up. She's smarter than me. There's no reason this should work other than the fact that we were friends when we were growing up. That's all I had, right? But all joking aside, we don't deserve the women in our lives. That's why we sing her praises. That's why we sing her praises. Well, I tell you what, she doesn't always, you know, she forgot to wash my favorite sweater. Well, you get over yourself, get down there and wash your sweater. You're a man. Well, I tell you what, she ain't ever making anything I like. Did you tell her what you were craving? No. Is she just supposed to know? Yeah. Okay. Why don't you make mama something to eat? Why don't you step in? All right, Danielle and I got into an argument one time. Not an argument, we got into a discussion. It was a very logical discussion. There's a certain way that I like to dry dishes. There's a certain way she likes to dry dishes. I don't like the way she dries dishes. She thinks her way is better. Right? Just the craziness of that. So you know what we did? We talked about it. We talked to some friends. We had somebody we haven't talked to in a long time step up and say, Matt, if there's a particular way you like to wash the dishes, you wash the dishes that way. Fine. That sounds logic, isn't it? What are we doing? We're nitpicking over chores. We're deciding value of marriage based on chores. You love that woman. You lift her name up. You praise her. Well, you don't know. I don't have to understand. She's got faults. I could only imagine the ones of yours she puts up with. And again, let's take a look back at that first part that we see there. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Gentlemen, do you know how hard it is to not do you evil when you deserve it? We can be obnoxious sometimes. We can be hard-headed sometimes. I'll get that every now and then where my temper will flare up and she'll have no idea why my temper's flared up. And she's got this response that she'll give me to let me know that she understands. And she's going to give me some rope, but don't hang yourself. Okay. And I'll hear it and I'll go, okay. I'll do this. Yes, my buddy Tom back there. I could be obnoxious to my poor wife. I woke her up last night. Tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap. She jumps. What? Why do you spell dark with a C instead of a K? Or sorry, a K instead of a C? What? Dark. D-A-R-K. Why K instead of C? She goes, I don't know. I go, because you can't see in the dark. It was midnight, folks. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. If anybody deserved evil, hello. You come home, you're in a bad mood, you slam your stuff down, you yell at the kids, you come over to the seat, you flip it up, and you never once ask about how her day went, never ask how she's feeling. You got a cold, she's got a cold, guess who gets to stay in bed? It is impossible from a human standpoint to not do evil to a man like that all the days of her life. You make sure your mouth reflects your understanding of what she's putting up with. Because that's where love is. Love ought to be forgiving, shouldn't it? Love ought to be kind. And what I would say is this in closing, that let's keep respect for motherhood. Let's keep respect for it. It is not a hideous blot. And you know what? I don't think everybody should have to have kids if they don't need to have kids. I don't. Right, I got a cousin right now. I don't feel like I should have a baby. No. Just don't do things that cause a baby. You know, I woke up this morning, I'd really like to not have a speeding ticket. So you know what I ought to do? Sue the next cop that gives me a speeding ticket. No. Shoot the next... No. Burn the speeding ticket. No. What's the answer? Answer simple. Don't speed. You don't want a baby. Don't do baby-making things. Doesn't sound very polite, but there it is. We need to have some respect for motherhood, right? We need to put it back where it is. Number one, moms. I know I wouldn't do this, but I got to do it just a little bit. Moms, you ought to be doing it godly. I know it's hard. You don't. Because that's what God has come. It's going to make those go easier. It is. What we got to do is we got to respect a mom, because moms raise society. Moms keep their arms open for us. Moms shape the future. I close my Bibles, but can we go to verse? I'm going to go back to Proverbs real quick. There's a thing that mothers put on. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Moms raise society with strength and honor. Open her mouth with kindness. Moms keep their arms open for us in the same way. Moms shape the future. And the little ones they raise. In her responsibility, she keeps everything under the guise, under the clothing of strength and honor. You know what? If you don't like a good job, if you don't like a job, what have we learned back from 2020 to now? You don't like a job, what can you do? Quit. An honorable mom won't quit. Honorable moms don't. Honorable moms stay strong. And that is a lot to put on a person, especially what we give to them. Right? We need to respect them. Because it's hard to keep the strength. It's hard to keep the honor when you're not appreciated the way that you should. Now listen, ladies, keep that strength, keep that honor because God commanded it, not because we deserve it. But we, as those around her, need to lift her up. She is literally everything that everything and everyone needs. We need to respect a mother's worth. Because I'll tell you this, selfish mothers, they're cheap. The ones that have kids because they need a paycheck. The ones that have kids so they can get the Instagram views and follows. You see that lady? She adopted a kid out of China. Got a big following. Bunch of people gave money. I think she's on YouTube or something like that maybe. But it got a lot of his attention, all these millions of views. Things weren't working out with the kids. So you know what she did? She gave it back. There's a lot of selfish mothers out there. If we've got a good one, we've got one that sacrificed for us, we need to respect her worth. There are others who just simply use their kids as props, right? Well, listen, when I was a kid, I never got to do all these fun things, so I'm going to force them into this. Hey, kid, come on over here. You're going to play the trumpet. I don't want to play the trumpet. Yeah, but I wanted to play the trumpet when I was a kid, so guess what? You're playing a trumpet. And hey, I tell you what. I wanted to do 4-H as a kid. Well, I don't really like animals. I'm allergic. Doesn't matter. Here we are. I need to be there. There's the sports, and we push, and we push, and we push. Right? Dads are no exception to this. We push them into things so we can have the things we never had. And you know what we do? We then sit back when they're teenagers, verging on adults, wondering why they've got anxiety problems. Here's an idea, because they were 12 years old, living the childhood you always wanted, going to bed at 11 o'clock for it. Because you rushed them from thing to thing to thing. You filled their lives with stuff, but not substance. That's what happened. We do that, we're detrimental to our kids in that way when we treat them like props. Oh yeah, well, little Billy here. He's on the honor roll. He does this. He does that. Everywhere you go, you take little Billy and you drag little Billy. Come on, but I'm not picking on you, Billy. But we drag him along. Oh, look how smart he is. All right, perform, little monkey. Perform. Right? Now what happens when little Billy gets to a certain age and his grades don't pick up so much? Where was that boy I always used to love and know? That's mean. That's harsh. So you're saying that your child lost value. Because they can no longer perform the way that you thought that it was when it was cute. Right? I looked at poor little Gideon back there. Gideon and Lucy coming out with those flowers, man. Coming out with the, here you go. Like little Cindy Lou Who coming out for Christmas, right? Just, that's cute and adorable. You know what? One day Gideon is going to grow up. He's going to be a teenager. I can't treat him different as a teenager as I did when he's a cute little kid carrying all. Can't do that. That's mean. You can't take that away from them. They're not props to build your life. They're not decorations to hang on your walls. They're people. Lazy mothers are cheap. Lazy mothers who do not care, who do not train, who do not nurture. There's a difference between beating your child for doing something wrong and training them how to do something right. There is. I caught myself doing that yesterday. I had my boys out there. We were picking up sticks. Just picking up sticks. Picking up sticks. I sent them out there. They spent an hour and a half picking up random sticks. Kept coming back. We got them! They didn't. They were tripping over them to come over and tell me they got them. All right, fine. Listen, this is what we're going to do. You hear. You hear. You hear, you walk that way. How far? Till fence. Then you put those sticks away, you come back. Right? Training. I could beat them for hours, yell at them for hours. It will do no good. If I never once taught them how to do it right, moms, don't be lazy. Teach them how to do it right. Well, I'm tired of my kids going into the... They change their clothes ten times a day. They go in there, change their clothes. Cool. Make them help you with the laundry. First you'll have a nuisance, then you'll have a helper, then you'll have someone you can pass the whole thing off to. It works. My mom did it to me. It works. Right. Train them. I never see my kids pray. Your kids ever see you pray? Well, my kids, I never see them reading the Bible. You ever sit down and read the Bible with them? Well, no, they should just instinctively do that. You don't instinctively do that, right? That's why pastors and preachers beat on this pulpit that you need to be doing those things because you don't naturally want to do them. What makes your kids any more stronger? Train them. This is how we do it. Then when they make a mistake, we come back with the correction. But if I never taught you how to do it in the first place, I can only expect for you to do it wrong. Right? There's a difference between being better and doing better versus not knowing what you're doing and, well, it coming out exactly looking like you don't know what you're doing. We need moms who care, moms who train, moms who nurture. Now, again, it is not a mom's job to build strong egos in their children. Right? Egos are one of those things that are hypersensitive, and if you put too much pressure on it, it'll collapse your entire life. Ego is not a good foundation. What you need instead is nurturing. What does nurturing look like? You wake them up. I love you. Hope you have a good day. Mom, I'm having a hard time. Come on over here. I'm going to set this aside. Come over here. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You tell me what's going on. Okay, is that what you need? All right, let's work it out. Let's figure this out together. Nurture them. Oh, you're having a bad day? I tell you what. You know what? It's not that you always need to have a day off, but why don't you take a break for a second, go out there, clear your mind, come back in, reapproach your homework. Someone to sit there and care for them. Love them. Show them how to do things. Right? Make sure that they feel loved. Make sure they feel secure. Make sure they feel that they're not alone. Those are the things that we ought to do. And some parents, sadly, they shut down to that. There is no talk of I love you. There is no talk of, hey, I'm here for you. There is no talk of, hey, we got solutions for almost every problem you have. Why is it that we see an uptick in suicide of young people? Because we also see an uptick in the distance between the parent and the child. You have a child, you drop them off at daycare. You see them for 2 hours before you put them to bed. You do that all week. On Saturday, you drop them off at the grandparents so you can go have a good time. Sunday, you begrudgingly drag them into church. Oh, sit down. And then they get older, you dump them off at school. Then they get to that age where they can be at home alone. And that gap grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And all of a sudden, you got a child that does not understand love. They do not understand security. They do not understand that mom and dad are there for you. They are these fuddy-duddies that yell at me for the smell coming out of my room. We need to be able to nurture just as much as we do anything else. Proverbs 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Listen, guys. Let me tell you about what my wife did. Last night I got home, and she spent hours working on this thing. Look, I got a picture. Look at that. I couldn't have done that. Look how wonderful that is. You know, guys, hey, I saw this picture, your graduation. Right? I sat there. I was so proud of her. I took a picture when she graduated college. Wayne State, you know, I took a picture of it in the thing. Right? That shows up every year. I was so proud. Oh man, look at my wife's got this degree. She's got this other degree. Look at all the things she's done. Is that how we talk about her, men? My old lady burned last night, I tell you what. She ain't the woman I married. That's not what that verse says, is it? You love her. You let her have the work of her hands. Right? Well, I tell you what, a man's home is his castle. You sure didn't do a lot of building for a guy who owns a castle. I tell you what, I go home and I lay down the law. Do you even know what's going on in your home, Mr. Lays Down the Law? If your wife is keeping your family together, praise her. You step in, you be the man you ought to be. If your mom took care of you, you let her have the work of her hands. You turn around and you say, thank you. I tell you what we do is not a lot. You know, we got, well, this is the Lord's Day, but we also call it Mother's Day. Well, yeah. But I tell you what, these flowers that they got, that box of chocolates you gave them, that big old, Danielle got something fancy. She got a big old yard sign for hers. Her mom dropped by, gave that to her. Nice. Those things do not repay mom. Daily respect is the reward for a godly woman, for a godly mom. We need to show that respect in everything we do. Selfish moms are cheap. Lazy moms are cheap. But all the value of a God-honoring mother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful.